Good morning, guys. How you doing? I can't say enough how excited I was to just come in and worship with you today. Just, I could hear you guys worship, and it was so, I was like, man, this, I love it. I love this church, obviously, we were here for a long time, but we really do. I just came back in, and I was like, I wonder what it's going to feel like to kind of step back in to worship and into the presence of God with you guys, and it was just, I was crying, so it was really, really special, and I'm so just excited. I just look out here, and I see new faces. I see the beginnings of the renovation that we planned and worked so hard for, and you guys are just right where God wants you, and I couldn't be more excited for Rev City and more honored to be here. So I just, you know, I appreciated Pastor T, because when I was talking to him and we were talking about sharing this message, he's like, he really encouraged me to just give you guys the word God had in my heart, and not just come in as a son of the house, but come in to minister and to share something with you that God has for you. And I felt that weight, but sometimes you feel like, man, I got to come back and I just got to kind of report the news, and you guys, and I just want to just ask that you would just listen in to what God has for you. I'm not going to really give you guys much of an update on us, because I'll tell you a little bit. We're in Alabama, North Alabama, at the newest campus of Daystar Church, where it's in Madison, Alabama, and we meet in a school. And let me tell you guys, I envy your building. I'm like, man. So we bring in a 28-foot trailer and a 20-foot trailer every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. with 20 people. It takes us 2 hours to set up for church. And then we take it all down, and we get done about 3 in the afternoon. So guys, like, you know, you're renovating, but you have so much, and it's so good. And so sometimes I'm like, man, the day that I don't have to set up every chair in the sanctuary and set the drums up from scratch and set up every kid's ministry place. So I was like, you know, you don't know what you have until you're gone. And I'm like, you guys have it pretty good. It's pretty awesome here, and it's such a blessing. We're so excited because just through a move of God, we have a contract on land for our church in Madison. So that's a big deal to us. And I'll tell you what, those men and women of God that serve, and we literally sweat through a set of clothes because we're in Alabama, even in December, and then we put on a new set and go to church, you know. So they will be so excited just to be at this place, you know. So it's an honor to be here. And God, it's funny, as I was talking to Pastor T about sharing that word, and God was stirring this strong word in my heart. That afternoon, I read this verse in Romans 1, and it says, Romans 1:11, I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And that just jumped out at me as I read that verse. I wasn't studying Romans. I happened to come across that verse, and I just really want to encourage you, and I'm going to try to give you everything God's put in my heart, and I want to encourage you to unwrap and hold on to whatever God's got for you. And don't just look at me and say, oh, it's Eli. Eli's back. It's great. But take something today and hold on to it and carry it, because I believe it's so cool. God's connecting this. I had no idea what the worship set was. Pastor Eddie's word about the promises of God. All of it connects. God's pretty intentional. And he's got a word for you today. And I just want to encourage you to grab a hold of that and take it into this season of prayer and fasting. We're going to be doing 21 days of prayer and fasting as well, so I'll be right there with you. I believe that God is on the move across the world, and I just see it, and I love being in different locations and seeing the same momentum of the Spirit of God as he's moving to just bring revival to our nation. And I'm believing for that, and I see it in Rev City, and I see it in North Alabama, and I'm just so excited. So can I pray that we can just open our hearts and continue to get what God has for us today, that he would download it. Lord, we're here. Lord, I thank you that we are being mutually encouraged. You're sharpening each other, Lord. I'm so encouraged to be here, Father, and to see what you're doing, only what you can do, God. And you're moving, you're drawing us closer to you. You're growing this church family, Father, and you're going to change the atmosphere of this city, God, through the steps and the boldness and the faith of this congregation. Lord, I thank you that we can come into your presence freely and boldly, God, and that we can receive from you, Lord, and we can take it and carry it and be carriers of your presence, carriers of your promise out into the world around us, Father. So I ask that you would open our hearts, my words would be your words, and that we would receive from you, and we'd carry the promise, carry the word that you've given us, God, and walk by faith into this coming year. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So today, I want to talk about being people of the promise. Being people of the promise. And we look at the Bible, and there's so many examples of these great men and women of faith. But the first example that really God commits to an amazing promise and covenant was Abraham. And I want to talk about how we today are part of the promise God gave to Abraham. And how do we walk out the promise, the covenant that God gave to Abraham so many thousands of years ago. But it stands today. The promise stands, and we have access to something that I feel like sometimes we miss and we forget because life goes on. We have the common things of life day in and day out, and we forget why we're here. That God called us to have an impact on this earth, that we are here for a purpose, and that this is not our home. We are promised a blessing on this earth, and we're promised a heavenly home. And we have to live with both of those in perspective. We're here for a purpose, but this is not our home. This is not this ground we're standing on is not our reality. It's not our forever. He's got something more for us. So I want us to begin to take hold of that. And, you know, God calls us sons and daughters of Abraham. The Israelites identified as children of Abraham. And why is that? Why does everybody connect back to Abraham? Why not to Adam? You know, and this verse in Galatians kind of begins to break that down, and it's in Galatians 3:26, if you want to turn there or open it. Galatians 3:26 through 29 says, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ." And here it is, "And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise." What is that promise? We're heirs of this promise. What is that promise? And how do we take a hold of it? How do we walk our normal day in from 2018 into 2019 carrying this promise and walking out the promise that God's made to us so many years ago? The reason we're called children of Abraham is because God made his covenant, his promise to Abraham that was going to be that was going to pour out of us into all of humanity, into the nations. This covenant promise to set us apart and to be a different kind of people, that out of that place, out of that apartness, that holiness, we begin to impact and be an example and be an answer to the problems, to the challenges, to the things that the world faces. And I want to talk about Abraham's life, and I want to talk about a couple things. His response to God, what God promised to him, and how we can step into that same heart posture as Abraham had, to respond to God in the same way and see him work through our lives in the way he worked through Abraham's life. So let's go to Genesis 12. If you can turn to Genesis 12, we're going to go through just four verses, the first four verses of Genesis 12, and kind of find out what it was that God began to speak to Abraham and how this relates to us. So it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram," this is before God changed his name to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. You know, it's interesting, as you read some of the backstory of Abraham, he wasn't from Haran. He was from a place called Ur of the Chaldeans, which was one of the most beautiful places in the world at that time, seven wonders of the world. And his dad's name was Terah, and his dad began to move towards Canaan. It says in the Bible, it's interesting, that something had stirred in Terah's heart, Abram's dad, to move his family from the best city in the world to get to this place, and he was actually going to Canaan. But they had to go around the Arabian Desert. So he came from modern-day Iraq, around Saudi Arabia, into Syria, which is where Haran was. But Terah never made it to Canaan, even though that was his goal. He was actually heading to the Promised Land. And he stopped short in Haran. He stopped short. Now, there's a couple things you know. Terah had two sons, not just Abram, but Nahor. And Nahor never went with his dad. He got comfortable in Ur. He stayed in that beautiful city, and he was just good to go with life. and you never hear about him again. Isn't that interesting? And Abram at that time had no heirs. Nahor had sons and daughters, and his life was going good, and he was honored among people because he had sons, he had heirs. Abram had nothing going for him. He had a wife, but no kids. And in that time, your kids were your future. They were your 401k. They were your everything. Your investment was your kids. He had all of that. He had none of that. So he said, "Well, he's still." Imagine me, 75 years old, and at this point in Haran, he still was living with his dad. I mean, he was 75. He had a wife, but he still had not much of his own. He'd just been living along. So he left Ur because he had nothing going for him in Ur, and followed his dad on this journey around the desert. Stopped in Haran. Still, not really. He had some possessions, but he didn't have any heirs. He didn't have what the world would say is success, what the world would say is God's favor, and so. His dad stopped short, and I wonder, I don't have this as a Bible verse, I wonder if God had been speaking to Terah, and Terah just stopped short of that promise. Why was he going all the way around the desert to Canaan, unless something had called him there? Why would you leave Ur, the best city in the world, and go all the way around the desert and try to get to this other land that was already full of people anyway? So it's interesting, but then God begins to speak to his son, and he says to Abraham, "I will make you great. I will bless you, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you." And Abraham is just begins to believe God. He's got something in his heart that's different than his brother. Something in his heart that's different than the people around him. What was it in Abraham's heart that made him respond to the Lord? And when God called him, he said, he just went. 75 years old, he just goes. He follows the Lord, and he walks by faith. You know, Abraham's called the father, one of the fathers of our faith. The fathers of our faith. How do we, it says, I'm going to read this in Hebrews 11, 8 and 9. It says, "It was by faith that Abraham obeyed God when God called him to leave home and to go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise." Now we are walking in the same promise, the same inheritance that these men of God, we are called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because these men walked by faith, and they had a heart posture towards God that I want to find out, I want to walk in. Man, they are mentioned so many times, that name is mentioned so many times through the Bible. You type in the name Abraham, and it's from beginning to end, he's in almost every chapter of the Bible because of the faith that he carried to walk in the promises of God. Now, what does it mean to live by faith? And in this, I want to talk about faith a little different today than maybe you've heard. And I want to talk about faith as carrying a yes in your heart towards the Lord, saying yes to God. And why do I say faith is like saying yes? Let me use an example that I've just been thinking about with my relationship with my son. I have four sons, and my oldest son, he's getting smarter, and he can make his own decisions about life. When you're 11, you know a lot. And he's sitting over there, but I got to say it. So, let's just assume in this example that I'm a good dad, that I have good expectations for my son, I have good plans for my son, and I love him with all my heart, I want to protect him, and I'm a good father. Let's assume all that, okay? Sometimes I'm not perfect, but I ask my son to do something. Say I ask him, hey, I'd really like you to do your homework on Saturday and not wait till Sunday night to do it right before your, and of course, how many parents have ever had that conversation? Don't procrastinate on your homework, right? There's a couple of different responses you could get when you say that, because Saturday is Saturday. I mean, that's the day to have fun, to sleep in, to play Fortnite all day long, and some of you guys know what I'm talking about, but he could respond by rolling his eyes and complaining that I'm taking all his fun and that I'm just never going to let him have any fun and I'm just ruining his Saturday. It's his weekend. He could do that. And what does that reveal? A response reveals a lot about the heart. Just like Abraham's response to God revealed a lot about his heart. That response could reveal something. Selfishness, right? Some pride, some I know better. I can get this done later on. I got this thing. It can reveal a lot. Now, it could also... This is something but he doesn't do that very often. He's an awesome son. And so are my boys. He says, oftentimes we ask him to say, "Yes, Dad." And oftentimes he does. They're so amazing at that. But When he says, what if I said, hey, go do your homework before this today so you don't have to worry about it on Sunday night? He says, yes, Dad, I'll go do that right now. What does that reveal? What does that yes reveal about his heart? I think it reveals his honoring my position of authority in his life. It reveals his trust that my plans that I'm giving him right now are maybe better than his plan at that moment. Even though maybe not what he wants to do, he's going to trust that it's the best thing for him to do with his time at that moment. It reveals that he trusts that I'm for him. So his yes, and doesn't that sound a lot like faith? You know, faith is shown by our actions. It's shown by our response to when God asks us something, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do? You know, the great people of faith, the other people in Hebrews 11, we just read about the faith of Abraham. I just believe they carried something in their heart that was just an inclination in their heart to say yes to the Lord, no matter what he asked. Think about Mary, the mother of Jesus. She just had a heart to say, I don't know how this is going to happen. This sounds so much bigger, so much crazier, harder than anything I've ever done, but I just say yes, Lord. I say, whatever the Lord says, let it be. What a heart posture Abraham carried. And I believe that's the heart posture God's calling us to begin to cultivate. And I don't believe it. And the truth is, though, even when you say yes to God, there's a process. There's a process. Abraham didn't receive what was promised immediately, did he? There's a process that God took him through that was not easy. I want you guys to say this with me. Say, there's a process to get to the promise. Let's say that again. There's a process to get to the promise. And we read about the process that Abraham went on in Genesis 17. This was 24 years later. Quarter of a century. And I don't care how long you've been on the earth. That's a long time for all of us, right? 24 years to wait when God says, hey, I'm going to do this. And then 24 years. During that time, a lot of things happened. He was walking through this land of Canaan, and it was literally like walking through enemy territory. Everywhere he went, his life was in danger from the tribes that were there because they were noticed. God was blessing them. They were getting to be a big group of people. They were walking through enemy territory, and you know, they don't get to put up walls around them and set up a city. They're in tents, unprotected, walking through this enemy territory. And in the middle of all that, God had promised him, I'm going to give you this land. He's walking around. And by faith, every step of the way, literally having to walk by faith through a land and ask God to protect him through the process. And in the middle of it, a famine happens. And there's no provision dries up in the land. But he's carrying this promise. And he's like, what do I do, God? And he ends up having to kind of leave the promised land and go to Egypt. And he stays in Egypt for a while, and he gets until the famine's over, but one of the most amazing things Abraham does is go back. He goes back to that enemy territory. He still hasn't possessed it. It didn't. And you know what? I think a lot of us carry promises in our heart, and we start to walk towards that promise, and something happens that just the provision dries up, or it just doesn't work out. There's enemies in the land. There's opposition to where we're trying to get to, actually has to detour from the promise. It looks like this is totally the wrong way. I just walked straight through Canaan into Egypt, and nothing happened. I don't own the land. I didn't possess the land. What do? Go back to the promise. Walk back to the place where you said yes to the Lord. And Abraham, through that time, there's one thing he did when he was walking through that promised land. God was meeting him, and he was building altars. He was building altars. He was saying, yes, Lord, I remember your promise. This is a marker, a reminder, so that when I walk through this place again, I know you've given me this land. I'm going to mark this place for your that you've spoken to me, and you're going to do it. Now, it says in Genesis 17, Abraham was, this is after 24 years of holding this promise in his heart. Abraham was 99 years old, the ripe young age. And the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. He had to remind him who he was because this has been a while. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life, and I will make a covenant with you, and by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. And he's giving more detail. And at this, Abraham fell face down on the ground. I think he fainted. I really do. He's like, seriously now, Lord? You know, like, it's just a little overwhelming to think about when you're 99. I mean, it's kids take energy. I'm thinking he's thinking like, man, this is going to be a lot of energy. No. Countless descendants? How many kids is that? But God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you a father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I'm changing your name. It will no longer be Abram, which means high father. Instead, you'll be called Abraham, which means father of many nations, for you will be a father of many nations. And I will make you extremely fruitful. And God had already blessed him to this point in many ways. But he says, I'll make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many, and your descendants after you, from generation to generation, your descendants will become many, and kings will even be among them. I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. This is my everlasting covenant. I will always be your God, and your God, the God of your descendants after you. God began to remind him of the promise that he'd made 24 years ago, and begin to expand on the promise. And I feel like the Lord is, as I was praying about this morning, that he was just, you know, you get to the end of a year sometimes like we are today, and maybe you have some unfulfilled promises. Maybe there's some things that you felt like God was going to do, or you've been carrying them for a while, and God wants to, I believe today, he wants to breathe life, and he wants to remind you of the promise, and he wants to bring new faith, a new yes in your heart to something God spoke to you a long time ago. And I really believe today he's going to begin to awaken that promise again. And you're going to have another moment, another encounter with the Lord where he says, just like 24 years later, he had another encounter with the Lord to say, hey, remember that promise? I'm about to fulfill it, but even more than you ever thought possible. He never mentioned the countless descendants before. He just said, I'm gonna bless you. But now he's saying, no, it's going to be countless descendants. And it's so much that Abraham, it like blows the circus and his circuits, and he falls face down before the Lord. But even in that, he's saying yes to the Lord. I believe the promise, even though it's so much, it's even farther beyond what I ever thought. 75 was a stretch. 99, that's a miracle and nothing more. But God loves to work when only he can do it, doesn't he? He loves to bring about promises when we can look back. Just like Gideon, he says, no, there's too many people. You're going to think you did it. Let's get it down to 300. God wants to answer some promises in a moment in your life when you think it's completely impossible, and then the promise begins to be fulfilled. When you think you've lost hope for that family member who hasn't been following the Lord, and you're like, man, he's so far gone, they've gone so far, God's going to come in, and he's going to begin to answer the promises of your heart this year. But you got to take a hold of them, and you got to say yes again. We have to say yes, Lord, I believe it still. I'm not going to doubt. I'm not gonna waver with what you called me to do. There's a process that he's taking you through, but he's taking you to the promise. He's taking you to the promise. You know, I remember in our story, just a little bit of our story. We were raised up in this church, but we got married January 3rd. This Thursday will be 15 years. We've been married 15 years to that my amazing wife. And when we first got married, we started to talk about how do we want to live in our hearts towards the Lord. I was not in ministry. I was working as a store manager in a business, in the business world. But we always said we want to live with our hearts towards the Lord, just to say yes, just to be able to go anywhere and do anything he calls us to do. That was our commitment to God, was we will go anywhere and we will do anything you call us to do. And that was a big statement, because we both were raised in this town. Both of our families are in this town. We come back, and it's so good to be here and to be with you and to be with them. A couple years into our marriage, actually, we thought we were going to be missionaries full-time in Honduras, and we were starting to say, okay, Lord, you're working this in our heart. I remember going on several trips, kind of just seeking the Lord in this area, and we began the process of taking this step of faith to go be missionaries. We had one son at the time, and you know, in a divine, long story short, God closed that door and kept us here. And we're like, Lord, we told you we'd go anywhere, do anything, and you're keeping us here. And there's, you know, the Bible says there's that verse, you know, who will go for me? Like, we're going to go, God! And he's like, all right, stay there. And you know, but the truth is, sometimes the yes to God, listen to this, is saying, is faithfulness and where he's got you. And some of you need to be planted and to be rooted where you're at and quit waiting for the next. And you know what? If God can move a mountain, I think he can move someone who's deeply planted. And we're a testimony of that because God, you know, he began to put our roots down. We're like, okay, Lord, we're going to stay here. We're going to do, but we're constantly keeping this yes in our heart, right? But years go by and your roots get deeper and you get more comfortable. And you start to get like, okay, Lord, maybe you're going to, I really started to think, man, I guess God wants to keep us here. We said we'd go anywhere, but maybe this is where we're called to be. And I was starting to kind of settle in. How many of you guys have ever felt like you start to settle and get a little comfortable in life? Nobody? How many of you guys like comfortable? How many of you guys hate change? Okay, there's a good number, all right? So we're getting into this point where I'm like, I lived 5 minutes away. I worked at my church, which I love my church. I love this church. I love Pastor Thomas. We just connect, and God's doing so much here, and it's so exciting. I'm like, man, this is going to be awesome. We're going to be here forever. And then I'm sitting in that seat right over there the second week of January in 28 this year. And now God had been already stirring our heart for stuff, but Pastor Richard, who will be here in a few weeks, walked up to me and said, hey, God, basically he said, God's calling you to a big step of faith this year. I'm thinking, okay, Lord. I'll do whatever you want me to do, but I don't have no idea what that looks like. No idea. You know, but he was reminding me years later, 8, 9, 10 years later of a promise of a yes that he put in my heart, that he had something for us. That we weren't going to be here forever for whatever reason he had something for us. So in that moment, we were just like, okay, Lord, whatever that looks like, we want to say yes. We really do want to say yes. But it was kind of, I remember just feeling in my heart, the Lord saying, is that promise still in your heart? Is that yes still in your heart that you said to me years ago when you were going to move to Honduras? Is it still there? And I remember sitting there being like, yes. But it was it's hard. It's hard because we got 4 kids now, our grandparents here. There's a lot of things you miss, you know? Like, we're not here for every birthday. We're not here. We have to, so the yes sometimes can get a little more costly to be people of the promise. But we really did want to see that, and we had no clue what that looked like. But God knew, and he began a process of taking us to the promise. And I don't think this is the end goal, you know, but the end goal is just Jesus, being with him and living for his glory no matter where he puts us on this earth. But some of you really need to plant and begin to be faithful where you're at and not just wait for the promise to come someday. Start to be here. Serve your church. Get in a small group. Do life together. Be open. Be vulnerable. Be real. Let God grow you where you're at. And if he can move a mountain, he can move your tree. He can transplant you when he's ready. But you root until he does that. I believe it's just a word for somebody. And others of you, you need to allow God to loosen your roots. And they got quiet in here. But just to say, God, whatever this looks like, I know where I'm at, but I want to be willing. I want to live like heaven is my home, not this place. And we always said that we wanted to live like our house was a tent, and we could pull up stakes and move when the cloud moved. Now, the cloud hasn't moved from this place, which made it really hard. The God's presence is here, guys, and he's doing amazing things. But he wanted us to take something and be carriers of something and walk into another season and another place and be a blessing to some people. But can you, and when we left here in May, someone gave us a painting they had made of our, I was going to take a picture of it. It showed our first house in Lawrence, and it had little tent pegs and stakes on the sides of the house. It showed this church and had little tent stakes on the sides of it, and it showed our other home over here and had tent stakes, and it was just reminding us that everywhere we go, we plant until wherever we're at, but we always remember this is not our home. This church is not the church. This building is not the church. You are. And you move, and you take the Spirit of God with you. Amen. Amen. So live, church, like your house is a tent, because this is not your home. Your home is heaven. You're wanderers in this earth. And you're called to be kingdom people, not earthly people. Romans 4. Doing good. Can I get the team to come up front here? Just start playing behind me. We're going to go into this last point here real fairly quickly. And Romans 4:16 says this, so the promise is received by faith, by saying yes to God. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it. You're not exempt from the promises of God, no matter what you've done. You're not exempt. You carry the promise. If you've said yes to Jesus, you are a carrier. You're a people of the promise. And he has a plan for you in that promise. We're certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. If we have faith, if we have a yes in our heart like Abraham's, for Abraham is the father of all who believe. That's why the scripture means when it says God told him, I made you a father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in God, who brings the dead back to life and creates new things out of nothing. New things out of nothing. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And he brought glory to God. You know, Abraham believed God's promises for his life, and he had no plan B. That was it. He's like, God, I'm staking my life on you coming through. I'm not going to have a plan B. I'm not going to work for my own security, my own purposes, my own pleasure. I'm just going to give it all, and I'm going to wait on the Lord until you come through. Even if it takes till I'm 99 years old, I'm going to wait on you. And in the world's eyes, he could have looked like he was wasting his life, but he wasn't. He was bringing glory to God every day, every morning, waking up with a yes in his heart towards the Lord, saying, God, I will say yes today. I don't see it all happening, but I want to say yes to you today. And I want to just challenge you, church. My second point is, I want to challenge you to trade your plans for the promise. The promise of God. You can say, God says, I know the plans I have for you. And some of us are worried. We get fearful with that statement. Like, God, what are you going to do to me? Like, you're going to send me to Africa or something? But if God's plans are perfect, why wouldn't we want them? Why wouldn't we just trade our little plans? Man, all Abraham wanted was an heir, and God's plan was nations. I mean, come on. Why wouldn't we trade our little plans, our little ideas, and our limited scope for the promise of God over your life? If it's perfect, is there any other area of your life we'd say, no, I don't really want perfection. I want it to be chaos and uncertainty and all those things and stress. I want to be in control. Why would we do that, church? But it's our human tendency. And we have to fight against that tendency to control, to try to make it happen on our own. And we have to say yes, Lord. Even if it's bigger than me, I'll say yes. The last thing, I really believe Abraham, this is amazing. Abraham was not, his life was not transformed. The promise didn't come true because of what he asked of God. It wasn't his big prayers. It was what God asked of him. You know, I think all of us want God to say yes to our prayer requests. But are we willing to say yes to his call? We all want God to say yes to us, right? Like my kids, when they come to me and they say, I want ice cream, they want me to say yes. But when I ask them something, are they going to say yes? Are they going to trust me? Do we want God just for the blessings, or do we want him for who he is and what he wants to do in us? Are we willing to say yes to the Lord daily? I believe God wants to renew some promises today. He wants to remind you. And maybe he wants to awaken some new calling, some new promises. And he wants to say, I've not forgotten. You are a part of my plan. You're not a sideline person. You're not a bench player. You are part of the game. You are part of what I'm going to do in this church, in this city, in this nation, and in this world. You are part of my kingdom and my promise. You are people of promise. You are heirs, along with Pastor Thomas and Pastor Richard and Chet. You are heirs of the same promise. You have your assignment is just as important. And you need to grab a hold of that and begin to say yes in your heart. I believe the Lord wants to remind some people of long forgotten promises. Maybe years ago you said something to the Lord. Maybe right when you first said yes to Jesus in your life, you made a commitment to the Lord. Or you heard him say something to you that you thought, man, that sounds really big, God. And maybe you've forgotten about it. Maybe it's in a journal from decades ago. But the Holy Spirit wants to bring that up again. He wants to say, do you remember that? Do you remember that moment when you said yes to me? I'm ready to begin fulfilling that. But it's going to be better and bigger than you think it ever could be. Because you're going to do it my way, not your way. In my time, and in my presence, and in my spirit, not in your wisdom. Some people got business ideas, I believe, that God wants to renew, entrepreneur ideas that he wants to renew and make you, it's a step of faith to do something like that. To believe God for some transformation that you knew he said he was going to do something in your family and you haven't seen it yet. But it's time to believe and say, yes, Lord, I'm not going to give up praying for that. I'm not going to give up seeking you and believing what you said about my son or my daughter. I'm going to believe. I'm going to say, yes, Lord, your promises are yes and amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and through him, amen is spoken to the glory of God. God, as Pastor Eddie said it, God's promises to you are yes and amen. And are you going to believe it today? Are you going to believe it? I want us to bow our heads. I believe the Lord wants to just to minister, and he wants to deal with some of those areas where you've been disappointed or where there's been delay or opposition. But before we get to that, I really believe he's calling on some people, and his spirit is here, and he's stirring some hearts that you have been in control of your own life. You've tried to be Lord of your own life, and it's not going too well. And you look back to this last year and said, man, I wish I could have done that differently. And today, he's calling you just to say yes to Jesus. He's calling you to make him Lord of your life. And his spirit is stirring you, saying, give it all to me. The good, the bad, the regrets, the shame, the sin, give it all to me today. Let me wash you clean. And let me give you my promise. And if you're here today and you really feel God stirring your heart just to say yes to Jesus, maybe for the first time, maybe it's a renewed commitment to Christ to be Lord of your life, would you just raise your hand so I can pray? Every head bowed. Every head bowed. I want to see if you just want to say yes again to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I make you Lord of my life. I want us all to pray together just to commit, because we're starting a new year. It's a good moment just to commit and recommit our hearts. Let's pray with these amazing people that raised their hands and had the boldness to say yes to Jesus. Let's pray this together. Say, Father God, thank you that you've died for me, that you've washed me clean. No matter what I've done, you paid for it by your blood. I say yes to you today. Be Lord of my life. I give it all to you. My past, my present, and my future, they're all yours. I trust you, and I thank you that you've made me an heir to every promise, and that your promises will be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There were a lot of hands. And lastly, I really believe, and let's just keep in this heart of prayer, I just want to say, I really believe God wants to renew some promises. He wants to renew some call today. And I believe he's just stirring some hearts, and maybe you're here and you're like, I'm starting to remember. Or maybe you're going to walk out of here and he's going to remind you at lunchtime or tonight when you lay down in bed. But I want you to be listening. Let's have a posture of yes in our heart. Oftentimes, God got people's attention through dreams, and I think he does that with me because sometimes I don't stop moving long enough. I don't get quiet long enough for him to speak. But have a posture. God, what are you saying to me? We're going into 21 days of prayer. Be listening to God and be ready to say yes. So I just want to pray. I want to pray just real simply before we go on this first song against the disappointment, against the delay, the things that have happened. So if you're carrying a promise that you feel like you've been holding before the Lord, or maybe he's reminding you of it right now, and you want us just to pray together for God to bring breakthrough, for him to begin to move in that area of your life, would you raise your hands and let's pray together over those promises, whether it's for family or for finances or for a vision. Let's pray. Actually, you know what? Let's stand. That's almost everybody. Let's just stand and get ready for worship. And I want us to lift our hands to the Lord. Let's just pray. Let's commit our hearts to the Lord to say yes to him in these areas. Thank you, Lord. Father, we say yes, Lord. We say that you've every promise that you've made, you will fulfill. God, and we brought a request before you, God, but we want to say yes to your call on our life. We want to say yes to your request of us. We want to say, God, wherever you take us, we want to go. We want to be people of faith. We don't want to live as if this world is our home. We want to live as if heaven is our home, and we're walking towards that goal. We're not going to get bogged down in the thorns of this life, God. We will press on. We will fix our eyes on Jesus. We will say yes to you, that you will fulfill what you said you will do. You are faithful to fulfill your promises, Jesus. So I pray doubt and discouragement be gone in Jesus' name. The opposition that's held back the promise of God from being fulfilled be broken in Jesus' name. That we begin to step in faith into the promises of God in this new year. God, we commit our hearts to you. We say yes to you. And we commit this year to you, God, to be a year that we say yes daily. We say yes daily, Lord. Yes, Lord, here I am. Use me today in the common and the small things. Yes, Lord, we say yes. Amen.